Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Everybody doing good. Okay, for some announcements. First, this is tomorrow morning, ladies' luncheon at Kilmarnock Inn. Arrive by 11:30. Sign up sheet in the fellowship hall. If you're interested in riding a church van, let Bootsy know. And if there's enough riders, he'll take the van. Special business meeting Wednesday night. And I'm going to let Todd, you.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Just wanted to say a quick word. We've talked about this on and off for the last 2 or 3 weeks. We do have a modernization plan. I'll eventually learn to talk. We have a new plan coming out. How's that, Warren? We have a new plan coming out to upgrade our communications network here at the church throughout the whole church. We also, part of that will be updating our audiovisual equipment. And there's going to be a special meeting before the Wednesday evening Bible study. There'll be a little few minutes set aside for a special business meeting so we can take a church vote on that. I was asked a very important question yesterday, and it's one that I firmly believe, and you heard Dan talk about it a few weeks ago. Someone asked, do we really need this today? And I think the answer is no. We have prayer, we have God, we know how to communicate. The answer is no, we don't need it today. But I do believe this is something we need for tomorrow, for the next generation. I look at the Jones family sitting in front of me, and one day this church will be full of them and their friends growing up together in this church. And this new equipment will serve them. So I want you to give some consideration to this plan. We're talking the ability to do some live streaming of our service for people who may be shut in at homes and hospitals. We're the ability to go back and replay the video. The ability to put video into the back rooms to allow people to connect. We could show slideshows. The pastor could even use pieces of video clips into his sermon if he wanted. This is something I don't think we really, really have to be having today in order to communicate with our Lord. But I strongly believe this is something that will benefit the church as we move forward into the next generation. If anybody has any questions, please see me. John's here. Jackie's here as well. Please let us know what we can do to appease your questions. We're always welcome to new comments and new questions, so please share. But that meeting is on Wednesday evening.
Right.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Also, I would say with that, we don't really need it, but it will enhance it. Stuff. Okay. You can be able to get my outlines up here on the screen as I preach and so forth, sermon, whatever. So we're here to worship the Lord and to praise Him, but that will enhance it, okay? All right. Easter sunrise service, Sunday the 5th at 6:30 a.m. down here on the water at the boatyard. Senior Saints Ministry meeting Monday the 6th at 7 p.m. Deacon WMA meetings Tuesday, April the 7th at 7. Men's Fellowship breakfast Saturday, April the 18th at 8 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. All churchmen are encouraged to sign up and to attend. Communications Committee meeting Monday the 20th at 7 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. See John Harper if you have any questions. And the 25th. Of April, on Saturday morning, we're having a children's education training program. The training will be led by Heather King, head of the children's ministries at Newington Baptist Church in Gloucester. I understand she does a terrific job with that. So, and all those who would be working with our children should attend, and as well as anyone else interested in learning. And it will last approximately 3 hours, and we're also inviting people of other churches in the Mid-Tidewater Baptist Association that would like to attend. Any other announcements? Anything? Any? Go on. You know, part of our being here, first off, the worship, but also it's the fellowship. And so this is where we encourage each other and where we show we love each other. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can gather here to be here in your presence. And we've come to offer ourselves up to you in worship and praise, to give you all the glory, all the honor, and to lift up your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, above all. And thank you for the gift of salvation in him. And thank you for all that you do for us each day. And now, as we come to this holy hour, we pray that we're intent upon listening to your voice, to your Spirit moving upon us, among us, and that we're here to obey your will and to seek your will for our lives. This we all pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Sing, please. seated.
Good morning, everybody. Such a beautiful day. Let the kids come down front, please. Let the children come. I think I saw Carter hiding back here somewhere. Hey, good morning. You look nice today. I'm so glad to see your smiling face. That's what it's all about, smiling faces in church, right? Hey, Johnny. Hey, Charlie. How you guys? Did you have a good week? Guess what? It's springtime. And we got sunshine and warmer weather, and I see lots of people talking in church this morning and smiling, and that's a wonderful thing. Well, today I wanted to talk to you briefly about something that we're going to talk in the big church. We're going to be talking about growing to make God happy. And I see these beautiful flowers over here, and I'm going to pick one out. So this is what? It's a flower. It's a plant, right? We've talked about this before. What do we need to do to get the plant to grow?
Water and sun.
Water and sun. And what else, Charlie? Soil. All sorts of good. You guys are good. I can tell you've been in school. You're doing good. All right. So that's how we get a plant to grow. See if I can do that justice. I do. Well, in what we're getting ready to talk about, in the Bible, Paul the Apostle says he wants people to grow in a special way. All right? He wants people to grow in loving God and doing good things for God. Well, that sounds wonderful. And that's what we all should be doing. Good things for God. Charlie, what can we do to grow and do good things for God? What would he like us to do?
Listen.
Listen to our parents. That's pretty impressive. I have grown kids and they don't listen to their parents, so I understand how that goes. What else can we do? What else can we do that would make God happy? How about share our toys with other people? How about, Johnny, how about shaking hands when it's time to shake hands in the morning? Yeah, there's lots of neat things. And he says that when we grow like a plant, and sometimes plants have pretty flowers, and sometimes plants produce fruits. And what he wants us to do is share those pretty flowers and those fruits with everybody. Paul's talking about what's really in our heart, talking about the things that we do to make people happy and to do things good. What's in the blue bag? Oh, I do have a blue bag, don't I? I do have a blue bag. What's in the blue bag? I brought fruit. Baby oranges. Aren't you glad I didn't bring something bigger? All right. Here. Have a... Oh, no, Carter. It's running away on you. All right. Have yourself. When you guys get in the back room, you can have a piece of fruit. But, Carter, I want you to remember... Yeah, it is. Hey, guys, I want you to remember, Johnny, when you have this fruit, I want you to think of the things that God gives you, to you to share with other people. He gives you that beautiful smile you have, that handshake. Carter, that smile that you have right now is just killing me. I love every minute of it. Just remember that that the Apostle Paul said to us, I want you to grow in a special way. I want you to grow in loving God and sharing your fruits with others, okay? Can we say a little prayer before you go back? All right, let's do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to grow closer to you and with you. And as our brother Paul said, grow in a special way. We ask that you put blessings upon these kids and keep them through the coming week and the coming days. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, head on back. It's so good to see you. Yeah, you can. I tell you what, a day like today is special. We got sunshine, warmer temp, and from our vantage point up here, we get to see all the smiles. And that is such a blessing. It's now spring, right? I think that has. Still a lot's going on in our church. A lot of things are happening. There's some people that aren't doing well. We have some cancers within some of us in the church that need attention. So our heads are a little, and our hearts are a little heavy for that. We've had some procedures. Lots of people have had procedures during the last week and are doing well. Shelly's had her scans and everything. She's a year cancer-free. Nick had a little procedure this week, and he's here today with his smile, and we're grateful for that. So lots of people are doing things and gradually getting stronger, and I'm happy to hear that. Did have one really neat piece of information to share. The younger walkers are grandparents, which means that the senior walkers are great-grandparents once again. Callie, what a beautiful name. So that's definitely a praise. And we have lots of birthdays to think about. And I don't always take the time. So I did find this interesting. Looking at the church calendar, I did not see any anniversaries in the month of March. So I found that interesting, but we do have lots of birthdays. Melissa had one this past Thursday. Haley, which I don't see here today, she has one tomorrow. Charlie and JR both share a birthday on Thursday. JR, how old this year? How old will you be this year? 92. Goodness gracious. That's praise right there. That's a blessing. And then next weekend, Debbie Delosier and Francis have birthdays. So we do have lots to celebrate. So, if anybody has anything else to bring forward, please let us know. We definitely like to add you to prayers. And it doesn't have to be that something's wrong. It can be something that's good, right? Yes, I get to see Brenda back there smiling, and it's so wonderful to see her sitting with her family and her sister. So she wants to thank everybody for the prayers, the cards, the letters, the gifts. She says her knees are doing much, much better, and it's so good to see you here today. I think that's it. That's a lot, but it's good. It's good today.
Thank you. All right, let's go to the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we have you to call upon. To know that you're there, our Heavenly Father, that you care about each and every one of us, and you care about sharing our joys with us, and also our sorrows, and also our needs. And we know that we can call upon you for all those things. But foremost, we need to always say thank you. Thank you for that great love that you've shown us in your Son. Thank you for that sacrifice that he made. And to know the glorious resurrection, that we have eternal life, that someday we will spend eternity with you forever and ever, and it will be a lovely and great time. And we pray, Father, that we think about that, and we think about those around us, in our neighborhoods, in our community, in our families and friends that do not know you, that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that we would share the joy of our salvation with them and do it in ways both in our living and with our words, that they would want to become a part of it also. And we pray, Father, that as we look today at your word and you, that we think about what you would have for each and every one of us in our lives. What is your will for each of us? And to know that you have a special plan for each and every one of us, and that we need to learn it and follow it, and to remember that we need to always be obedient to your will. And when we come to you and ask for things, we know that it needs to be within your will. And we pray now, Father, as we go through this service, as we listen to your word, both in the scriptures and in the songs, that we do it according to you and your glory, as we come in the holy and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
J.R., this is just for you. Offertory hymn is 92 this morning. Stand as we sing.
come to give back to the Lord what He's so greatly blessed us with. And He's great. He's blessed this church in many, many ways. I wouldn't be here if He hadn't. And we have these nice young fellows that come take up the collection. And to know, and I have been at a few churches here in recent history, that there is no youth. And it's sad, but this is the future of our church, and we need to remember that. And so, and we give that the Lord's work will continue to go forth, and of course that these young people find and learn more about you, that someday they will be in positions that we're in, that is of serving in the Lord in great ways. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank You especially for the time to be able to bring back gifts to You, which You've so greatly blessed us with, that You use them to further Your work in this world, to reach the lost, and especially to help us to reach the young people of the youngest generation, that we know they're the future of the church. This we all pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Two more weeks, and it will be Easter Sunday. Looking forward to it. Two of my most famous, or not famous, my greatest times that I love preaching is Christmas and Easter. There was an elderly gentleman was driving home from work when his cell phone rang. His wife was on the line in a panic and said, "Honey, be careful driving. I just saw on TV that some maniac is driving the wrong way on the interstate." The old man replies, "One? There's hundreds of them." Suppose you came face to face with Jesus and you had the opportunity to ask Him one question, just one question. What would you ask Him? Well, Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he asked, first he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Then second he asked, and trembling and astonished said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" You know, people are always asking, what is the will of God for their life? What is it God would have me to do? How do I know? Well, we're going to look at that this morning, how to know the will of God. And we're going to look at Colossians 1, verses 1 through 10, and then we're going to look at how to know the will of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love which ye have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up in you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth always in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God has a will for your life. Each and every one of us, God has a will for. Now, there are three kinds of God's will. First, there's His sovereign will. This is that God rules over everything. Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Romans 11:34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now, all these scriptures, you know, are in my outline so that you can take them home and look them up, so you don't have to keep trying to keep up with me. Now, there's some things that God doesn't reveal, and this is His sovereign will. These are some things we won't know, and we wouldn't understand anyway. Then there's His standard will. What's His standard will? First off, it's found in the Bible. The Bible has His will here for us. There are things such as the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and so forth. And what did Jesus say? You shall know that you are my mine by how you obey my commandments. That is part of God's will, is that we obey His commandments. We obey all that He has given to us. We know it's always wrong to lie, and we know it's wrong to cheat and steal, and we know it's always right to tell the truth and to do certain things that the Bible commands us, and we know it's not right to do wrong, and it's never wrong to do right. Then there's His special will. God deals with each and every one of us individually. We each and every one have a personal relationship with Him, and He deals with us on that basis. And each and every one of us, each and every believer, is part of God's great plan. And He has a special will for you. For everybody, He has a special will. Now, there are mistakes that are made in knowing and doing the will of God. First, people think His will is like a road map. It's not a road map. It's like I said, it is a relationship. And we are to trust Him and to follow Him. He led the people of Israel through the wilderness. He didn't give them a road map. What did He give them? That pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. And they followed Him. They didn't have to worry about where they were going because they trusted Him and followed Him. You don't have to know the future, but you just have to know the one that holds the future, and that's Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about that. As long as we trust Him and follow Him. And just know this, that there need to be nothing between your soul and your Savior. Some people think God is a celestial killjoy. You know, don't do this, don't do that. They look at that and think about it. Remember this. When we go to him, what is the first thing we do? Our Heavenly Father. He's a loving Heavenly Father. He has loves us just like now, because I had a father that loved me, a father that cared for me, a father that saw to my needs, a father that I could go talk to, a father that, you know, I could depend on and rely upon and so forth. Now, unfortunately, there are situations in this world that those that can't say that, but so they don't understand when I talk about a Heavenly Father. They don't have that image, you know, that they could see in an earthly father. But he is that great Heavenly Father. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give you grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variance, neither shadow of turning. Romans 12:2. That you may prove that which is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. He's not a killjoy. He's there, a loving Father that gives us good. People think that God only has a will for certain people. He has a will for everybody, not just preachers and missionaries and people that go into full-time ministry. He has everybody. Each and every one of us is important to him. Matthew 10:30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He knows every hair on your head. Reminds me of a story one time of a man. He used to get up every morning and count the hairs on his head. He got up one morning, he went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And he said, I'm going bald. But he knows every hair on our head. People think that God reveals his will in cataclysmic experiences. You know, Paul had a cataclysmic experience on the road to Damascus. But Elijah, I just preached on him, he had this experience. God didn't speak in the wind. God didn't speak in the earthquake. God didn't speak in the fire. He spoke in a still, quiet voice within. People think that God hides his will from us, but guidance is promised. Psalms 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. He reveals his will to those who want to know it and who will operate according to certain principles. That is, those principles, anything in his will is not, some people say things that are contrary to his word. He's never going to give us any instruction, anything to do that is contrary to the word. And it is promised to those who will obey. You have to obey. Guidance is provisional. There must be a willingness. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine whether he be of God or whether I speak of myself. If you're not willing to do it, you're not going to know it. I learned something from that some years ago, first into the ministry. And I thought, you know, I'll pick and choose where I want to go and serve. I had to come to an understanding. Nope. You have to be willing to go where he wants you to go, where he directs you to go. Same thing in anything that we do in our lives. There must be meekness. Psalm 25:9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. You've got to be teachable. You've got to be guidable, not arguing with or reasoning, You don't learn that way. You got to be teachable. As old friend taught me years ago, in fact, he was my father-in-law's first cousin, and he ended up working the same company with him for a while. And he told me, as long as you're green, you're growing. Which is what happens when you get ripe, you turn rotten. We always need to be teachable. Don't think, well, I'm old enough, been in it, yet I know it all, you know. Can't teach an old dog new tricks and so forth. But we need to be teachable. There was a boy that dropped out of school. He says, they can't teach me anything. He was probably right because he made up his mind that they couldn't teach him anything. He didn't want to learn. There must be openness. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It is the Holy Spirit that leads. It is that still small voice within. And what we need today, speak, Lord, your servant hears. We need to be in tune with him. There must be yieldedness. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's it saying? Show me your will, Lord, and I will do it. That's your reasonable service. He loved you enough to give his life for you. Lord, I don't know what it is you want me to do, but I will do it. We have to settle that. We can't decide, well, no, I don't want to do this, Lord, or do that, but I'll do this. It's got to be whatever. Anytime, any place, anywhere, at any cost. Guidance is very practical. There are 5 ways to know the will of God for your life. First, there's the Word of God. There's much revealed in this Bible. There's much revealed in his word. That's his standard will. Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How many times is that repeated in vacation Bible school over the years? The providence of God. There's things such as open and shut doors. It's the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We need to learn to listen intuitively to that Spirit. He will never tell you anything that is contrary to his word. And he is the arbitrator. He is the umpire. And he is the one that gives peace in the heart. Years ago, when I felt God was calling me into the ministry, I went and talked to my pastor, who at that time happened to be my dad's younger brother, my uncle. And I talked to him and told him, you know, what I felt. And he told me, he said, could be very well that God is calling you in the ministry, or it could be he just wants you to be a good witness in your job where you're at. Now, I was having good income. My wife wasn't having to work. We were comfortable and not struggling or anything, but I was struggling with the decision. And my uncle told me this. He said, if God is calling you, the doors will open. If not, they'll close. Let me tell you, 40 some years ago, the doors flew wide open and they're still open. And that's why I'm here. When I surrendered to that, that is when I finally found peace in my heart. Because for years, I ran from it. I don't know if I've told you this, but when I told my mother that I was getting ready to go into the ministry, the Lord was calling me. And she was talking to her younger sister one day, my aunt. In fact, I had to call her auntie. I got in trouble one day for not calling her auntie and calling her by her name. I got in big trouble. She told my aunt, she said, "You'll never guess what Everett's getting ready to do." She says, "I know what he's getting ready to do. I've known since about that big." But see, I ran from it for a long time. But when I finally surrendered, because there were other things I did in life, different things, you know, but it just was never finding real satisfaction. You don't find satisfaction until you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. The people of God, here's another way you can find out God's will for your life. Counsel with some wise counsel, whether it be your pastor or maybe a relative that you know that is growing in the spirit and is very knowing. But make sure it's one. Don't seek out some unwise people for counseling. Proverbs 24:6, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety." Make sure they are mature and spiritual before you seek them out. And then there's the wisdom of God. Ephesians 5:15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." How do we get the wisdom of God? We pray for it. We ask for it. How did Solomon get it? Now, there's six character qualities to have if you want to have the wisdom of God. One is reverence. Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." We need to have awe before the Almighty God. Humility. Proverbs 11:2. "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Strut and swagger, and you'll not know the will of God." You know, being prideful, they don't get it. Teachableness. Proverbs 9:9. "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Diligence, Proverbs 8:17. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." We always need to be seeking the face of the Lord continuously. Uprightness, Proverbs 2:7. "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." Sin in the heart and life blinds. Confession is the windshield wiper. Look at it that way. Faith, James 1:5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Ask and believe, and he'll come through. Now, there's miracles of God. Sometimes they've come in visions, dreams, and in actual visual miracles. There was done a lot in the past, but it's seldom today, and there's a reason for that. That is, God's word is complete. He gave us the final revelation in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is also God's spoken word. In the Word. It says in the Scriptures, in the Word. It refers to Jesus as the Word. So anytime you see some of this extra revelation, don't believe it. You know, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, all they have some extra revelation. You know, in fact, the Mormons wrote, you know, another so-called Bible. It's what does it say? God gave the final revelation in His Son. Christ is the pattern that we are to follow. As we become believers, we're to become Christ-like. We're to grow each day and to become more and more Christ-like. He is the pattern to follow. And we must be fruitful, as it says in the Scriptures, in every good work. When we become a believer, then it's good fruit should come forth in our lives, good works. And we must grow in that knowledge of God. We must grow continuously. We start out as babes in Christ, then we grow to little children, then become adults, and then we can become the elderly, the full-grown, full mature senior adult. First thing, God's will for everybody is to accept His Son as their Lord and Savior. That's why He sent Him into the world. That's why He let Him die on that cross and brought Him back from the grave. Because He says, I love everybody and I want to forgive everybody. I'm sorry for what you did, but I'm going to make it up to you. I'm going to give you another chance. And that is, accept My Son for your sin and believe in Him and in His great resurrection for eternal life. Do you know Him today? Do you know He died for you? Do you know you're forgiven? And are you seeking His will for your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word today. And we thank You to know that we can follow Your will if we but do several things. One is that we know that we need to study Your Word, that in it we will find it. Also that we need to pray to You to seek out what You would have us to do, and also to be sensitive to Your Spirit that speaks with us and guides us through life. And ultimately to know that we need to pattern ourselves after Jesus Christ. And if we will do all that, we will know what Your will is for us and where we need to go. We need to follow You wherever it may lead. And we pray not a soul would leave here today without knowing that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, that He died for them, that it is a personal one-on-one relationship with Him. This we all pray in His holy and precious name. Amen. 480, only trust Him.